Good morning and welcome to WPPA Sports Saturday, District Championship edition of the program today. Class A Championship and AAA Championship decided last night. We've got coverage of that. We'll also take a look at the 4A semifinal this afternoon here on WPPA as Bethlehem Catholic comes into Pottsville to face the Crimson Tide. But first, we've got to thank all our fine benefactors, none bigger than CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. Always open online at caclfcu.org. Voted the number one lending institution for the past 5 years at CACL Financial. You won't find a better fiduciary relationship anywhere.
We've got to say thank you to BG's Value Markets, 4 convenient locations for your tailgating shopping needs. Stop by, check them out, Millersburg, Pine Grove, Minersville, Jonestown. They've got all your shopping needs upon aisles of grocery shopping savings. It's BG's Value Markets. If their meat was any fresher for the hot irons of your tailgating grill,
you'd have to slap it.
Thank you to Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest family-owned full-service dairy on the Tumbling Run Road. They've got the whole milk, the skim milk in their dairy line, the orange juice to start off that iced tea just fine. The orange juice to start off that Saturday morning just fine. You're pointing at things, and it's getting
I'm pointing at your Diet Gears tea.
Yeah, my Diet Gears tea, the tea line and fruit drink line. And don't forget, Jazz Hepler's favorite is back on the shelf.
The eggnog.
And don't forget, as you're enjoying that eggnog, make sure it's a non-alcoholic version of an eggnog.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you can have that in here with that stuff in there. And also thank you to St. Luke's. They've got the best orthopedic care in all of the area. It doesn't matter what jersey or team you play, the weekend warrior or the pro athlete.
We're all on the same team with St. Luke's University Health Network.
Check them out at orthoSLUHN.org or give them a call at 1-866- St. Luke's, and join the team of the orthopedic care specialist at St. Luke's University Health Network. Hit it, my friend. Not a lot of games last night, but some important games last night as some gold medals were hung around the necks of young men and women out there, and coaches and managers and scorekeepers and in District 11 Class Single A last night up in beautiful downtown Fountain Springs. Williams Valley beat Tri-Valley 36-7.
Tim Savage will be on the program a little later on.
District 11 3A championship. Tamaqua down North Schuylkill 20-0. And
the Blue Raiders picking up their first district championship in school history. Sam Bonner will be on the program this morning.
Look at District 3. Is that Upper Dauphin team still rolling, Chaz? 36-28 over DeLone Catholic. Upper Dauphin, I believe, expected to go a little deep into these state playoffs coming up.
Well, I believe Upper Dauphin's double A.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah,
they have a week off next week, okay? And then they get the winner of the District 4 AA champ, meaning either Southern Columbia or Mount Carmel will be their next opponent, and you kind of know what's happening there.
And some games on the schedule for today, District 4 AA semifinal. Mount Carmel is at Troy at 7 o'clock tonight. And then the big one here in the city of Pottsville, Veterans Memorial Stadium on Veterans Day weekend, Bethlehem Catholic, the Golden Hawks will come in to visit the Crimson Tide of Pottsville in the District 11 4A semifinal. 11:30, our coverage gets underway with the Tom McGoey Show. At 12 noon, we'll kick it off from high atop the hill here in Pottsville.
And a programming note here with the OT this morning.
Programming note, breaking news.
The Penn State preview will air this morning right around 10:15 leading into the Penn State tailgate at 10:30.
It's going to be about 10:14.
The guy that programs this stuff still thought Penn State was on a bye, I guess.
Oops.
Because last week there was no show.
Oops.
This week there will be a show.
Oops. Yeah, as we'll preview Minnesota, James Franklin will be talking on the program. He'll talk about Minnesota. He'll talk about his young cornerbacks and his very stingy defense. He'll talk about the health of some of his players and a lot more coming up on the Penn State preview.
Sorry, I left you out in the cold yesterday.
It's okay, my friend.
There's a lot going on around here on Friday.
You're all right. You're all right. Let's talk high school football a little bit.
Let's talk about the game we heard right here on WPPA, game you witnessed on the surface in Fountain Springs. Your first eyes set upon that stadium.
Yeah, my first eyes set upon it at an official event. I did set my eyes upon it from outside the fence. My first time stepping inside the fence there at Gosch Orthodontics Field at Spartan Stadium. And I've got to say, the only thing I've noticed is, they invested a lot of money into the playing surface. It's a beautiful investment for all of the area as it comes into playing host to a district championship game, could play host to some state playoffs here in the next week or so. But one thing that they forgot is when they were investing in on the field, they forgot to invest in on the press box. If you know anybody at North Schuylkill, if they could find a way to get some electric baseboard heat in there, it would really make it a class A facility.
Were you cold?
No, I wasn't.
I had just a
sweatshirt on, and that was it. A hoodie, and that's all. I mean, I didn't have a winter hat on with my big puffy orange jacket with my gloves and stuff like that. The problem was it wasn't that cold, but it was cold enough to harden up our chocolate caramel creams. So we had
to
thaw
them. Do you people hear this cat? Do you really? Really? Stick them under your armpits.
Bernie had to put them in his coat pocket and put his hands in there and warm them up a little bit. But I thought you would like that little story. But, it's kind of funny. I brought another funny story into our broadcast yesterday. I mean, as I was talking about the things, in halftime, I was like, Bernie, let me tell you a story. I showed him my boots that I had on. I said, normally not the normal footwear I would wear here on a Friday night, as my other boots that I would normally wear on a Friday night sort of got swamped up. And I told him the thinking man's game last week. But
I survived.
Yeah, so did I. I could still talk about it. So let's
some
talk.
Were wetter than others after that thinking man's game.
let's talk a little bit about a game last night I witnessed. And you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What it was last night, Chaz, was turnovers. The tail of the tape is turnovers. Tri-Valley turns the ball over 7 times last night.
Wow.
And, off of those turnovers, Williams Valley produced points. It started early and often, and Williams Valley kicks off to Tri-Valley. Tri-Valley driving down the field, and Chase Herb on a carry gets a helmet on a football. The ball pops out. Williams Valley gets it. Next thing you know, Williams Valley's marching into the end zone. It was a pass last night by Herb, as Herb finds Rayho 56 yards deep in the end zone, and it was a cruise pass from Herb for the 2-point conversion, and it's 8-0 early on. Later on in the first quarter, it's Cruz getting a 3-yard pass from Mr. Herb, and all of a sudden, 2-point conversion on the angle run, and you're talking a 16-0 ball game after one. Then another turnover gets into the hands of the Vikings. They take it 76 yards on a pass play for Cruz with his second on the night. And the extra point attempt does not work. And we've got ourselves a 22-0 ball game at the half. 14 more points put up by Williams Valley. Aaron Minnick gets a 2-yard run. Minnick does pick up a fumble, runs it back, Chaz, and gets as close as you could get without scoring. Sets up a first and goal, gets contacted in the backfield on first down. Second down, he caps it off with a 2-yard run. He does get the 2-point conversion at number 2, going for 2. And it all of a sudden is a 28-0 ball game. Then Brady Miller gets a 48-yard interception return. He'll tiptoe down the sideline into the north end zone. And Williams Valley 36-0. Late in the ball game, Tyler McGrath would intercept a pass by the second team offense for Williams Valley, and he returns it from the 18-yard line back to the north end zone, and that's the 7 points with the Wilcox kick in the fourth quarter. It's 36-7. Williams Valley capitalizing off of those turnovers last night by Tri-Valley. And, I mean, it was, you know, Jeff Sampson talked about it at the half. He said, you know, I mean, we've got to limit the mistakes. We've got to have a three and out coming out as they are kicking off to Williams Valley to start the second half. They have accomplished that, you know, because they did end up getting an interception. But they had the three and out, but they just were not able to, I mean, move the ball down inside the 20. And I mean, they had some, you know, yardage. They had some stats racked up. Just couldn't rack up points. You know, I mean, as the flashes of life showed for the offense, for the Dogs, it was quickly taken away, usually negatively, with a turnover in favor of Williams Valley.
You know, the interesting thing, looking at the numbers, you know, you're talking about Williams Valley's offense and the seven turnovers, but, boy, Williams Valley's defense showing up last night, Doc, only allowing 84 total yards of offense to Tri-Valley in the ball game. That's a pretty decent night in a championship game for a team defense for the Vikings. The Dogs get 84 yards on the ground on 24 attempts, held to 4 first downs on the night. No passing yards as McGrath goes 0 for 10 with a pick. And my goodness, that's a pretty impressive defense. Williams Valley, on the other hand, 14 first downs, 39 carries, 142 yards. 8 for 26 passing with 3 interceptions for 206 yards through the air for 348 total yards last night for the Vikings. They were on a roll. They're going to play Lackawanna Trail next week at probably a District 11 site. My guess would be it could be right back at North Schuylkill for these Vikings next weekend, but we'll have to wait and see tomorrow when the official brackets come out. Individually last night for Tri-Valley, Herb had 82 of the 84 yards on the ground on 13 carries. Scheib was 3 for 12. Tyler McGrath 2 for 8. Murray 1 for 5. Wetzel 1 for 3. But Jonas McGrath had 4 carries for minus 26 yards to set the tape. For Williams Valley, Brady Miller 24 carries, 133 yards. Minnick 4 carries for 23. And from there, things did not go positively. We talked about the passing for Jonas McGrath of the Bulldogs, Herb for the Vikings. Receiving last night, Williams Valley Cruz, 3 catches, 88 yards, 2 of which were touchdown passes. Engel, 3 catches for 56. Rejo, 2 catches for 62. One of those was a touchdown reception. Tri-Valley's interception. McGrath had all 3 picks for the Dogs. That's Tyler, I would guess, right?
Yeah.
And Brady Miller had the lone pick for Williams Valley, so interesting how the tail of the tape in that single A final went last night. Williams Valley picking up their 4th district championship in 5 years.
Yeah.
Last year was the one that was missing.
Yeah, they didn't get it last year. The Tri-Valley Bulldogs got the best of them in that single A championship game and advanced on to play in Scranton against a very tough Lakeland squad, I believe.
As was it Lakeland last year? This year's opponent is Lackawanna Trail coming out.
Yeah, Lackawanna
out.
Trail.
It was Lackawanna Trail, wasn't it last year too?
I'm not. I thought it was Lakeland.
I don't know. It's one or the other.
Yeah, it's one of those L teams.
So last night I was in Lee Heighton and I saw Tamaqua's defense rise to the occasion. It was the Blue Raiders scoring early, holding possession of the football, and coming away with the Triple-A crown last night on the artificial surface in Indian Country. So Nate Boyle carried the football. Braden Knobloch was efficient in the passing game, but it was the line play on both sides of the ball for the Blue Raiders that got the job done last night. Their defensive front four was in attack mode. They were in the backfield an awful lot, disrupting things. They held serve offensively, keeping North Schuylkill's very talented line at bay. And it seemed as if they came in with a little personalization from getting defeated in Tamaqua by these same Spartans, or at North Schuylkill by these same Spartans earlier in the season, and came away big time last night.
Yeah, and it seemed like last week, late in the ball game, Knobloch and Boyle started to heat up, and they heat up on a cold winter or late fall night. It was like winter out there last night, Chaz. It was kind of chilly. It's the coldest I remember a football game being in quite a long time. But it starts off with Tamaqua scoring in the first quarter as the Knobloch 13-yard pass but to Kistler, and the kick is no good off the foot of Boyle. It's 6-0. In the second, Tamaka will add another pass completion to Barron. The two-point conversion, no good. It's 12-0 at the half. In the third quarter, Nate Boyle will run in from 3 yards out. We'll cap it off with a two-point conversion. It's 20-0 after three. Everybody scoreless in the fourth quarter. And North Schuylkill had a tough go of things as Tamaka pretty much, from what I understand, put 8 or 9 in the box a lot of times to stop that vaunted running attack of those Spartans.
Well, they have a very active defensive front. And their linebackers were able to come up onto the line of scrimmage. And they're a talented group of linebackers as well. I shouldn't take anything away from Jake Barron, Nate Wickersham, Nate Boyle. They're tough in that second level for the Blue Raiders. And they proved last night. I mean, they held North Schuylkill to 79 yards rushing, 27 yards passing. A total of 106 yards for the Spartans last night.
Yep.
And things just could not get going for North Schuylkill. A lot of three and outs, as you can tell. They run a total, Doc, of 36 plays compared to the Blue Raiders, 57.
Yeah, Tamaka last night, 15 first downs in a victory. 41 carries, 143 yards on the ground. 10 of 16 passing last night for the quarterbacks. A 126 through the air for Knobloch. 269 total offense last night. They dropped the rock once and did not lose it, though. North Schuylkill, 4 first downs, 27 carries, 79 yards. 3 of 9 passing, 1 interception for Jake Hall. 27 through the air for 106, and they dropped it once and lost that possession. You look inside the numbers individually. Nate Boyle leads the way with all rushers last night with 27 carries for 97 yards. Kistler, 6 for 30. Knobloch, 4 for 13. Kirby, 4 for 3. Zach Chawanski, 12 for 54 last night. Hall, 9 for 8. Tyler Elsden, 1 for 5. Josh Chawanski, 4 for 4 last night. Passing the ball for North Schuylkill, for Tamaka. Knobloch, 10 of 16 for 126. Hall, 3 for 8. 1 interception for 27 yards. Elsden attempted a pass. He did not complete it last night. Receiving for Tamaka, Kistler 5 for 68, Boyle 2 for 24, Barron 2 for 22, Ham 1 for 12. Last night, North Schuylkill, Weichel leads the way 1 for 22, Chawanski 1 for 5, and Green caught a pass. It did not produce any positive yardage. Interception last night for Tamaka, Blue Raiders, is that Kistler lad.
And while we're speaking about that Kistler lad, Eddie, Matt Kistler had a great all-around game last night for the Blue Raiders, running the football, receiving the football, punting the football. He had the Spartans pinned deep on several occasions, punting the football, and he was our player of the game last night for Tamaka. He did anything and everything. He's shown this year, and when Joey asked Sam in the pregame about, boy, Matt Kistler really showed up, Sam was like, he's always been here. You know, he's always done great things for us. But last night, above what we normally see out of Kistler, usually he's overshadowed by Boyle or Knobloch. Mm-hmm. But last night, Matt Kistler was our player of the game, and deservedly so. And it'll be interesting to see what Sam Bonner has to say after the Blue Raiders pick up their first district championship in school history. The other thing they got last night was a little bit of help, but, I mean, it's their next opponent. Pope John Paul II defeated Newman Goretti last night, 29-28. Newman Goretti is out of the tournament.
That's
big. And Goretti was the team that everyone, including this guy on touchdown tips last night, felt was going to be the 3A champion. They aren't even in the dance.
Yeah, I heard that last night. You guys all talking as you were wrapping up touchdown tips for the final show, talking about what was going on statewide. And I heard a lot of you picked Newman Goretti to make the dance and possibly be that 3A champ. And you know, and it's funny. I mean, it's a football factory, no doubt about it. It's more than a football factory at Newman Goretti. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. It's a sports factory.
It's a recruiting arena.
Yeah.
I mean, let's cut the mustard.
Yeah.
Right? They recruit kids from all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Notre Dame of Green Pond. Their top running back was ineligible for the playoffs because he came and he was a transfer from New Jersey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hey. But, I mean, was he – I mean, I'm not saying he was recruited. I mean, there is an influx of individuals from New York and New Jersey that move into that Stroudsburg area for the housing, B, the education, and C, the opportunity to raise their children in a different environment from what may be found, closer to the metropolitan areas of northern Jersey and the Manhattan areas of New York. So, yeah, I mean, let's not say that they all come in, they want to play sports or whatever like that. I mean, there are some other reasons why people would locate into that little corner. Now, in Philadelphia, I don't know anybody who's saying, oh, my long life dream is to live in the city of Philadelphia. Me? Uh-uh. My long life dream isn't to be in Philadelphia. Listen, it's to get as far away as I can.
Last week cemented that for me, that concept. After the game, the brawl in the parking lot, the teams are pouring out of the locker room. We were going to go for cheesesteaks because we got there, and the game that was scheduled ahead of it started 2 hours later. We didn't go. I said we could stay here. We'll park here, and we could walk the mile to your favorite cheesesteak joints.
Well, what is my favorite cheesesteak joints?
Pat's.
They are good, but there's better. They're good at
anyway,
a pitch. You got to experience
anyway,
them.
Anyway, let me get back to my story, would you?
Go ahead.
Your chocolate creams are melting now. Anyway.
Jerk.
Anyway, Joey would not walk the mile. It said it was going to be about 15 minutes by car to go a mile and a half. I figured we could walk it quicker probably. And Joey said, I'm not walking there. Look at what's going on around here.
Well, I can't believe he was scared. I mean, he is a tiny guy, He's like a little beer barrel, though,
The other thing I learned last week in Philly, that the super sites aren't super.
Oh, yeah, they're starting to become worn down, I noticed that the last few years.
They were nice. Were bent.
Yeah, they were nice when they were first built for the first 10 years or so.
If you were sitting at the press box looking at the field, right? The goalpost on the left side, the one upright was bent out. All right, no, it was bent forward. On the other side, to our right, the goalpost, if you're looking at it, was cocked to the left.
Yeah, that was like that last year.
And the other one was bent out.
Yeah.
It was an adventure.
Yeah, that was
and the
like
turf
that
was
last
coming
year.
Up. I mean, whoa, baby. How the PIAA can justify allowing the Philadelphia region to maintain playable surfaces for our student athletes, all of them, including theirs, and that's what you get when you get there. It's ridiculous. Like, somebody from the PIAA needs to go around and look at these arenas to play these sports in and say,
they need a facilities manager, something to check.
If you don't have a suitable facility that can hold a crowd, you don't have a concession stand for people that are traveling long distances, you have subpar anything, well, you're not going to get any games here. We will find a place where your playoff games will be held when it comes to this point in time of the season.
Yeah, look at
that's in all sports.
Look at a few years ago, Chaz. I remember going a few years ago into Germantown or something like that, and in section of Philadelphia. Number one, there
you
was
came out over cover of helicopters.
Yeah, helicopters and police cars flying all over the place. Little did we know, like, somebody got hit with a snowball the day before, and then there was some type of retaliation, and the individual was harbored up in a residence a block away. But the restroom facilities. I remember going in there, like one urinal was like missing off the wall. It was just some pipes there that were shut off, so water wasn't leaking. The stalls in the bathroom were destroyed. There weren't doors on half of the. It was a mess. And I'm thinking, you couldn't find somewhere else to host a basketball game. And I think that the gym, the ventilation system, I remember it being real dusty, dank, and like dark in there. It was horrible.
Yes,
horrible
there has
facilities.
To be a call by the PIAA to say, listen, we will inspect your facilities, and if they are not up to par, you will not play at them.
Especially when you talk about a surface. And I wasn't at the game in South Philly. I can only take of what I've heard from you and John and Joey explaining things. Also seeing things posted on social media about the playing surface and the turf, how it was loose and it was bunched up like gathering, like your carpet that it would do after quite a few years in your house. And to me, about a half a mile to the west of there one time. There was an injury on turf that cost a football player, his career when he blew out both knees on inadequate turf surface in Philadelphia. Why would you not? I mean, this is a safety issue. I mean, and number one, it is the job of the PIAA and its officials to not only, control the game, and make sure rules are abided by, but its number one priority is the safety of its athletes. And, you've got to make that safety call. Another thing, too, is I got to ask, did you feel the balls?
Mike Farr did, and his hand went 3 inches.
I saw that. I saw that posted somewhere. And I was like, deflate gate two?
Yeah, West Catholic's going to play McDevitt at the South Philly Super site this evening at 6, for the 12-11 sub-regional championship in AA. And, yes, I guess West Catholic was allowed. The official turned around and looked at Mike Farr after he had the football and was squeezing it. Said, look at this. They said, get back, coach. Don't want to hear it.
Yeah, get back. Get back. Of course. I mean, that's home field advantage, I guess, right? It's funny, but it's not funny. I mean, it's a shame of what it just seems like, and we say this time and time again, and I'm sure the listeners are like, I know exactly what Ed's going to say. It just seems like that the PIAA caters to this Philadelphia region, the District 1 and 12 teams, and I don't understand it. A, they don't bring a crowd.
Nope.
They're not bringing a gate. Yeah, I mean, there was probably more people there to support the Schuylkill-Haven Hurricanes than there were to support West Catholic.
It was about even this time. The Schuylkill-Haven people weren't going to pay $10 to get in, that's for sure.
But, normally when the coal region goes to play somewhere, they bring fannies.
Well, people have realized that when you're going to Philly, either one of us are traveling there, so they'd rather stay at home and tune into us. And, with all the hijinks and stuff that happened from the game before, you could kind of understand. And now the reputation of what's going on down there, people aren't going to go. They're just not. You may have a few parents in the stands, and that's going to be it. And, if that's okay, then I guess it's okay.
Yeah.
They're the decision makers. They're the people that make those calls. And
I think the next time we get Bob Lombardi on the show, we'll have to address this situation a little bit, have a little chat with him and see what we can do. You know what I mean? Maybe, say, hey, inadequate facilities. We feel they're inadequate. A lot of people feel they're inadequate, Bobby. Does the PIAA do anything about that situation?
Well, obviously they leave it up to the districts is what I'm thinking. Like your district reps have the insight into where games are going to be. They name the sites, and the PIAA says, all right, that's where we're going to send it. And I think it's just that simple.
District reps need to stand up.
Our district reps do. There should have never been District 12 and 11 playing against each other in Week 11. Leroy's article yesterday was
spot on.
Spot on. It should have been Mono and Schuylkill-Haven for a District 11 championship.
I agree with that.
McDevitt and West Catholic should have played last week.
We said it last week on the show.
And that's the way it should have been. But it wasn't.
Let's take a break.
Well, that's where the music's playing.
Yeah.
They're trying to tell us shut up. We'll be back. Sam Bonner going to join us on the program next right here on AM 1360. 106 FM.
Worldwide, WPPARadio.com. Missed the show? Don't fret. Catch us on your favorite podcast location. Sponsored and hosted by Anchor FM.
You work hard for your money, so don't let the big banks take it away in service fees and charges every month. Bank at CACL Financial, and you'll see the difference. At CACL Financial, not only will you be treated like family, your money will work for you. If you live, work, worship, or attend school in Schuylkill County, CACL Financial has the products and services to meet your personal and business banking needs. People love banking with us so much that we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 5 consecutive years in the Reader's Choice poll. At CACL Financial, it's more than checking and savings accounts and CDs or home mortgages, vehicles, and home equity loans. CACL Financial meets your needs every day. Visit our convenient office on West Market Street in Pottsville, online at caclfcu.org, and like us on Facebook. CACL Financial, member NCUA, equal housing lender.
Gears Dairy on the Tumbling Run Road is the county's oldest full-service family-owned dairy. Gears prides themselves on their high standards and offers quality produced milk products as well as orange juice, fruit drinks, and their very own popular iced tea. Make Gears a name you invite into your home every day. Look for Gears products in your favorite supermarket or convenience store. Gears Dairy on the Tumbling Run Road, the county's oldest full-service family-owned dairy, always committed to excellence.
It's that wrenching feeling in your neck when you wake up, that back pain when you lift the groceries. When this pain hits, think St. Luke's Comprehensive Spine. Our approach to treating back and neck pain will get you on a course to healing, often without surgery. Most back and neck pain can be resolved through physical therapy, and when it can't, we offer a full spectrum of specialty services. To begin healing, call 1-866-St. Luke's. St. Luke's Comprehensive Spine. We've got your back and neck and spine.
Sands Ford of Pottsville is celebrating Black Friday all month long. That's right. We're celebrating Black Friday now till the end of the month. With deals like these, they're too good to offer for only one day. Stop by and see for yourself Sands Ford's outstanding discounts. Combined with factory finance and lease specials on most new Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs, you'll feel like the holidays are already here. Black Friday savings all month long at Sands Ford of Pottsville, Route 61 South. Online at sandsfordofpottsville.com, where we make it easy.
Rebate and finance specials not available on all models.
Don't forget the Penn State preview will come your way right around 10:15 this morning here to wrap out Sports Saturday. But joining us now on the program, the District 11 3A champion head coach Sam Bonner. First one in school history for the Tamaqua Blue Raiders. Congratulations, coach, on making history with your Blue Raiders and a spectacular team you have.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me on. Kids did a great job for us, especially our senior class.
Sam, last night, your line, I think, took it personal coming into the ball game last night that they were not going to be outdone by North Schuylkill a second time this season. The defensive side of the ball, they were in the backfield an awful lot. The offensive side of the ball, they gave the seams necessary to score, and they held up for Braden to throw it. And, boy, your line, you've got to be awful proud of that group this morning.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You know, actually, it was the first time in a while an offensive line gets some press, and they were getting some press this week, which I thought was great. But, you know, they kind of lived up to the press that they got throughout the course of the week. But you mentioned, you know, the first time we played North Schuylkill, we felt that they kind of took it to us up front, especially near the end of the game, and we had to get the ball back defensively. And, you know, offensively, we had a hard time getting the, you know, run game going. But I thought our guys did a great job of, you know, kind of getting both those things going for us last night, getting penetration on the defensive side. And like you said, we didn't have any, I think we had about 100-some yards rushing, but, you know, I thought the kids did a great job, again, those 4, 5, 6-yard pushes.
Last week it seemed like Knobloch and Boyle started to warm up, and on a cold night here late fall, they really heated things up last night for you.
Yeah, definitely. I thought Brady had a great game for us, completed a lot of big third-down conversions. You know, we were talking about it. I thought the key in the game was a 95-yard drive. We had to put us up 12-0. Where, you know, if we don't get a couple first downs there, you know, the game could be a different game. So, you know, I thought, you know, he made some big plays there. You know, Boyle made some great catches on that drive, as well as, you know, Maddie Kissler made some big plays on that drive, take down. So, like I said, I think it was a big team effort, especially on that drive.
Sam, last night I knew when Joey asked you the question about Matt Kissler, you said, he's been doing it all year for us. The crazy part is he seemed to be overshadowed a lot by Nate and Braden. Last night, it wasn't just what he did catching the football. He had an interception. He ran the football well when you gave it to him. And his punting kept North Schuylkill away from the 50, even away from the 20 to start drives last night. He had a complete game last night and stood out above those guys.
Yeah, no doubt. And I agree with you. I feel like kind of he's like an unsung hero. He does a bit of everything for us, and he's been doing it. The kid has had a catch in the last 28 games. You know, so since his, you know, probably his first start as a sophomore year, he made a catch in every game since then, which I think is pretty amazing, especially at the high school level. But like you said, you know, he's doing it on both sides of the ball. Last week in the Notre Dame game, like you said, he gets overshadowed by, you know, Nate Boyle, who had an awesome game. But, you know, he also led the team in tackles that game and made some big plays for us. He's been doing that kind of stuff, you know, all year. And it's great to see him get highlighted last night. Like you mentioned, you know, special teams are huge. And he did a great job of punting the ball and, you know, putting those guys deep for us.
You know, the other interesting thing, let's go back to the defense last night. To hold North Schuylkill to a a meager amount of yards from scrimmage last night. We talked about your defensive line and their work, those four cats. But let's talk about the kids in that second level. Nate Wickersham and Jake Barron are two more kids that I don't think get enough credit where it's due.
Yeah, definitely. You know, both those guys, especially the second half of the season, really turned it on at the linebacker position. You know, Jake at middle, and like last night, we were actually putting him down on those and we were running a five-man front a lot. So I thought he did a great job for us, you know, making that transition for last night. And, you know, Rick, and he said, you know, I think, you know, if we had to go most improved players throughout the course of the year, you know, it'd probably be Nate Wickersham. He said the kid's really come around and, you know, kind of solidified that spot. He's kind of our captain out there on the defensive side. He gets all the calls in, you know, and he's just a great all-around kid. So, you know, he's one kid that we talk about a lot of seniors, but he's an underclassman. We're glad that we're going to be having him back next year.
Sam, when you take a look at Braden and what he's been able to do this season, last night it seemed like for a couple games there in the middle, the completion rating was going down. The beginning of the season lights out, but last night he goes 10 for 16.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, playing a, you know, good secondary like they have, the like, Skuko, you know, it's obviously not going to be as easy as playing some of those earlier games. But, you know, I thought he did a great job. You know, another thing, you know, he's been using his feet a lot and making some plays. He threw midline play in there last night. He picked a big first down up on that drive. I think he ran for about 12, 13 yards, made a nice read. And, you know, that's not always easy, putting something like that in for a couple weeks and then making a couple good plays on it. But he did a good job for us that way. Like you mentioned, I think not just throwing the ball, he's also ran for about 7 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks, or 5 or 6 anyways.
Mm-hmm. Sam, how much importance were you or paying attention to the Philadelphia region as that team, Newman Garetti, was on the radar to be a pick in the state finals, and now all of a sudden, they're no longer there.
Yeah, that was kind of a surprise. You know, I said we don't know too much about them, but obviously just by reading press clippings and, you know, looking at the state rankings throughout the course of the year, they seem to be, like you said, one of those favorite teams in Triple A. So, you know, it was kind of surprising to see them get beat. You know, that being said, it's, you know, now we're getting the uncharted territory where, you know, we got to start watching film today and start seeing what we're going to be in for.
You know, a lot of teams will see that Knobloch and Boyle are the go-to guys. How important is it going to be for people like Cody Hamm and also Matt Kistler, who's been there all season but hasn't grabbed the headlines, to step up and make this Tamaqua Blue Raider team propel?
Oh, definitely. I mean, obviously, they're going to be looking at our stats and know who they have to kind of stop. But, you know, and I keep on going back to it. Matty does have 45 catches, so I'm sure he's going to be on the radar as well. But, you know, a guy like Jake Barron last night, you know, he made some real big plays on the offensive side of the ball, and he's done that for the last few weeks. So, you know, getting other guys involved. And Cody Hamm, you know, he made a big catch on a third down on that drive. But getting those guys involved and trying to stay balanced, I think that'd be a big thing no matter what.
Sam, you talk about uncharted waters. Last night, and unbelievably surprising, the first district championship for Tamaqua. You're coming into a week now where you're practicing for the first time in school history. How does that change the game plan a little bit, or is it just business as usual? Let's keep doing what we're doing.
Hey, we're going to go business as usual. You know, we actually said that last night. You know, our guys are really antsy. You know, obviously playing for the first district championship. You know, they wanted to get out in the field early, and I said, listen, we're going out in the field the same time we've gone out in the field for the last 11 weeks. You know, this week we're going to practice the same way we practiced for the last 11 weeks.
Sam, are you one of these superstitious guys? Do you wear inside-out socks or something?
No, you know, it's 50-50. I kind of wear the, you know, once we started, you know, making a run at the end, I kind of wear the same turtleneck, same sweatshirt every time. I did change my socks this time and put some warmer ones on last night, though.
The interesting thing is he's foregone the shorts. I think the shorts were the hook for
Coach
Bonner.
The shorts made it to about, I think, last week. I started getting the sniffles at that time of year. I figured I better bundle up a little bit more.
Sam, you know, one of the things, though, that we always talk about is Coal Region football and a different style of football we play here in the Coal Region. And I think your team really exemplifies that with Nate Boyle and his bruising style of running.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I mean, we always take pride in that. You know, we like to play physical football. You know, and that always, I think, comes with the run game. You know, and obviously this year, you know, I think what gave us the edge is the fact that, you know, we're doing a bit of both and we're staying balanced. We've kind of been like that for the last few years, but the one thing is we're never going to abandon that run game. You know, and if you saw that last week, if we know it's clicking and it's working, man, we're going with it.
You know, Sam, when you talk about Nate Boyle, talk about how special a young man he truly is. I mean, he's not the biggest, burliest running back. The interesting thing is how you hide him in a huddle where he's kneeling in the middle, so teams can't figure out where he's going once they break it. But talk about him and the specialness that he brings to the program.
I think he's kind of kneeling because he does everything. I think he's kind of exhausted. I don't know if he's trying to hide or if he's just trying to take a little bit of a break. But, yeah, he just, like I said, the kid's awesome. We've been saying this for years, and you know, he's one of those guys that I don't think, like, you know, a lot of colleges and stuff look at, like, height and weight. And, you know, you can't take what Nate has and, you know, put it on paper. You know, he does a bit of everything. He has a huge heart, never comes off the field, and the kid does, you know, great at everything that he does. And so I said, he's just a special kid that, you know, is probably one of the best football players to come through this area in a long time.
Sam, let's talk about what we felt was probably the biggest momentum changer. Yes, you had a 12-0 lead at halftime. But coming out for the second half kick, and he squibs it off a Spartan player, and you guys get the recovery. Was that the design coming out, or did all of that just kind of fall into place? I know you were trying it early, but
there was a little bit of luck on our side. I mean, we thought we had an open area, and we were trying to kind of squib it to that open area, and we knew they were kind of having a little bit of difficulty handling the ball where we were kicking it. But, you know, as far as it, you know, bouncing off the young man that was up front and us getting the ball, there's a little bit of luck involved on that one.
Sam, you know, we talk about Braden, we talk about Nate and all that. Is there anybody through the 12 weeks so far that has really surprised you on your Blue Raider squad?
I tell you a lot. Like you mentioned Wick before, but, you know, the guys up front, Jared Reed, you know, Bronson Strauss, you know, Sean Levine's a kid that played center for us and was pretty much just an offensive guy for us throughout the course of, you know, the last 3 years. And he stepped up and he's playing some really good defensive end right now. So, like I said, those guys are just doing a great job for us. You know, Nate Kirby's really turned it on the last couple weeks. You know, running the ball hard and, you know, definitely giving us some nice, you know, nice blocks up front as far as pass protection as well as leading the way for Nate. So, you know, I can't say enough about, you know, all the guys they have contributing right now.
You know, Sam, speaking of Nate, talk about him a little bit. He's in an offense where he's the fullback. Sometimes you put him back there as the feature back. But it probably takes an awful lot to get a kid like Nate to this is your role. You're surrounded by a whole lot of weapons, but he fills the position and gives you 100% on every single down.
Yeah, no doubt. And like you said, you know, I think we started seeing it even more once the playoffs came around. They said, last week, we do pancakes. I think he ended up with 6-7 pancakes at that fullback position for us last week. So, like you said, he's a kid that, you said, you know, he knows that the coaching staff appreciates him, and his time is going to come. You know, he said next year he's going to probably be our future back there, and he's going to be the guy that's going to be carrying the ball, you know, 20, 30 times a game.
Well, let's not look ahead to next year, Sam. You've got the PIAA tournament out in front of you this week. And I guess things after celebrations calmed down, saw the fire trucks and the cars waiting. Fans on the corners last night coming home through Tomaqua. It was crazy, but how do you bring it all back down now and get set to get into that PIAA tournament?
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, I said the kids deserve it. You know, usually we go in Saturday morning and actually give them a day off today to kind of sit back and really enjoy it. But they know, you know, come Monday with 2:45 in the weight room or, you know, 3:30 watching film and around the practice floor at 4 o'clock. And, like you mentioned before, we're back to, you know, work as usual. You know, and that being said, you know, it was a great atmosphere coming into Tomaqua. You said, I can't say enough about, you know, how the town, the parents, you know, the boosters, how everyone supports this team. And, you know, it was just a great feeling. And, you know, the kids loved it. You know, you go through town at, you know, 11:30 at night. You know, you got guys coming out. I think we had about 12 fire trucks leading the way and backing us up. And, you know, a couple hundred people at least, you know, going through town. So, great feeling for the kids, great feeling for the community.
Well, Sam, we're going to wish you luck. Pope John Paul II on the radar for the Blue Raiders, and go out and make us Cole region proud.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for taking time out, Sam. Back to class.
Yep, there you go.
There you go. The energetic, always energetic, Sam Bonner joining us on the program. Yep. District 11 3A championship. The first in school history for the Tomaqua Blue Raiders.
And the interesting piece, as focused today after winning that, as he was going into the game last night. There's still business at hand for the Blue Raiders. We're going to take a timeout.
Yeah.
We'll come back. We're going to dial up the head coach of the Williams Valley Vikings, Tim Savage, going to join us on the program here on AM 1360, 106 FM.
Worldwide, WPPARadio.com.
Hi Wow is being heard all across Schuylkill County. What is it? CACL Financial's Hi Wow Checking Account. It stands for Helping You and Others Won't. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, CACL Financial's High Wow account offers terrific features like no minimum balance, no maintenance or penalty fees, and earn 1% annual percentage yield on your account when you have e-statements and 10 point-of-sale transactions with your debit card per month. High Wow Checking from CACL Financial, named the best bank in Schuylkill County in the Reader's Choice poll for the fifth year in a row. Earn 1% annual percentage yield on your checking account. Make your money work as hard as you do. CACL Financial, online at caclfcu.org. Like us on Facebook or visit our Pottsville office on West Market Street. CACL Financial, member NCUA, equal housing lender. If terms aren't met, regular interest rates apply.
BG's Value Markets, Binersville, Pine Grove, Jonestown, and Millersburg is loaded with great buys this week. Now through Monday, November 11th, Encore traditional entrees, five different varieties, $2.28 each. 81% lean ground chuck, $3.68 per pound. Best yet, grade A frozen turkeys, 98 cents per pound. Festive brand frozen turkey breasts, $1.38 per pound. BG's fresh baked sticky buns, six pack for $3.68 with nuts, $3.98. BG's store made white meat chicken salad, $4.78 per pound. Assorted squash or sweet yam, 68 cents per pound. Assorted Pennsylvania mushrooms, 2 8-ounce packages for $3. Four pack of Hunt's pudding, just 88 cents. 1 pound packs of Keller's butter, $3.48. Schmidt's Italian bread, buy one, get one free. And Libby's assorted vegetables, only 68 cents each. BG's Value Markets, where freshness, quality, and service are number one. In Binersville, Pine Grove, Jonestown, and Millersburg. Open every day.
It seemed so routine as Claudia Carr hung curtains at her home and bath. And then it wasn't. A trip and fall left Claudia with a fractured wrist. For Claudia, who crochets and paints, the injury was limiting. Enter St. Luke's Orthopedic Care with its premier team of hand specialists. Today, Claudia's wrist motion is fully restored, and she's back to doing what she loves. Find Claudia's extraordinary story at ortho.sluhn.org. Or for info on St. Luke's Orthopedic Care, call 1-866-ST-LUKE.
Sands Ford of Pottsville is celebrating Black Friday all month long. That's right, we're celebrating Black Friday now till the end of the month. With deals like these, they're too good to offer for only one day. Stop by and see for yourself Sands Ford's outstanding discounts. Combined with factory finance and lease specials on most new Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs, you'll feel like the holidays are already here. Black Friday savings all month long at Sands Ford of Pottsville, Route 61 South. Online at sandsfordofpottsville.com, where we make it easy.
Rebate and finance specials not available on all models.
Errands have been run and the chores are done. Time to finally relax. By screaming for your favorite team for the next 3 hours, right here on the Penn State Sports Network.
The undefeated fifth-ranked Penn State Nittany Lions travel to Minnesota to take on the undefeated Golden Gophers. We're on air at 10:30 with the pregame. Kickoff is at 12 noon.
My dad is a hero. He goes into burning buildings. He finds people inside who need to be saved. Then he helps them get out, even when he can't breathe or see, even when he's a little scared. My dad is a firefighter. He does great things. And the best thing he can do is come home.
The U.S. Fire Administration, a part of FEMA, reminds you to protect the heroes who protect our lives. Have a smoke alarm on every floor. Test it monthly. Replace the battery yearly. Do your part to get out before firefighters have to come in. The fact is, 60% of all fire deaths occur in a home without a working smoke alarm. The good news is, that's a fact that can change. For more information, visit the U.S. Fire Administration at www.usfa.fema.gov. Working for a fire-safe America.
It may not require a textbook, but it's filled with valuable lessons. It may not take place in a classroom, but it's an ideal environment for learning. It may not involve a diploma, but it can help prepare Pennsylvania's young people for life. It's high school sports. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students that participate in high school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think again. Better yet,
Think about attending a high school sporting event in your community. You'll be amazed by what you see. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the Pennsylvania Interscholastic Athletic Association and the Pennsylvania State Athletic Directors Association.
We're still in fall, but we're certainly feeling more like winter this morning. Most of us saw lows right around 20 degrees. Later in the day, though, we do warm up. Warm being a relative term here because highs only end up around 40. We're also less windy today, though, so the wind chill is not quite as brutal. We'll be about 5 to 10 miles an hour out of the south, and we also do see a little bit of sunshine today, so it's an okay day to get outside as long as you're bundled up. With your eyewitness weather forecast, I'm Christina Schallhoop on WPPA.
29 on the outside in downtown Pozzo as we prepare for a big District 11 4A semifinal matchup today here at Veterans Memorial Stadium. We'll get on the air at 11:30 with the Tom McGoey Show, then directly out to the Veterans Memorial Stadium for the Tide Talk pregame. Kickoff scheduled for 12 noon between the Crimson Tide and the Golden Hawks
of Bethlehem Catholic. And we will have the Penn State preview coming up in just a few minutes from now, as Ed spent some time with James Franklin this week, and we'll get you set for the Penn State tailgate, which gets on the air at 10:30. As he said, we'll interrupt that for some Pottsville area Crimson Tide football, return to Penn State out of the Tide game. But the Penn State preview will air in its entirety today, right around 10 minutes after 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
So we were unable to get a hold of Tim Savage this morning. The celebration probably went deep into the night after Williams Valley picks up the District 11 championship.
Single-handedly over Tri-Valley last night, capitalizing on some miscues by the Bulldogs. And, you know, Williams Valley comes out victorious once again. Four out of the last 5 years, they have been the District 11 single-A champion. Chaz, what is up next for those young men next week is, I have to look here. And
Lackawanna Trail.
Yes.
Will be the opponent for Williams Valley next week. We know that Tamaqua is going to play Pope John Paul. Pottsville, if they get past Bethlehem Catholic today in a semifinal game, the final in 4A is actually a first-round state game. They'll play either Allentown Central Catholic or Northwestern Lehigh. Northwestern Lehigh, the number one seed, only has one loss on the season. I had the opportunity to see Bethlehem Catholic last week, a game that was heard here on WPPA against Blue Mountain. And I will say the Golden Hawks are not the team they were last season. Up front, they're big, 6'8", 6'6", 6'3", 6'2", 5'11". Tavian Banks is back, the running back who did a lot of the damage against the Tide last year. Last week saw limited action in the second half. Again, not sure if he, you know, was Bethlehem Catholic sandbagging a little bit or truly was, did he have an injury? He was clutching the top of the back of the left leg and doing some squats with the trainer and stuff, but never returned to the field. The quarterback for Bethlehem Catholic, Richardson, will stand in the shotgun, will set his feet, and will deliver the football to some very talented wide receivers. The Tide defensive backfield is going to have to play tall today, and they're going to have to find their way here against Bethlehem Catholic. But I think the Tide match up quite well with the team, with the Becca High Hawks this year.
Yeah, the Becca High Hawks have been the nemesis for the Tide the past few seasons. As what is this, the third matchup, I believe, between these two ball clubs here in District 11 play. And I mean, the last three have gone, or the last two have gone in the way of the Hawks. And the Tide, that you talk about, the defensive backs have to step up. And I think this defensive backfield can answer the call, Chaz, as they have been stepping up throughout the season, time in and time out, as they have been asked to step up. So it's going to be an interesting ball game here this afternoon, as we'll have a high nooner. I like the high noon kickoff on a Saturday.
It's almost a little warmer.
But it's also, you know, I mean, it gives it almost like that small college game feel. You know what I mean? It's kind of fun. I like playing in the sunlight on a Saturday afternoon. Tom McGoey likes it too. He doesn't like his team to sit around and you know, mope all day long and then have to come out and try to get up and play a 7 o'clock kick. So, You know, I mean, that's what they like is, you know, getting these games in early. I mean, getting the kids out of bed, getting them up to the school, getting them moving around and getting them, you know, I mean, before they have that opportunity, you know, maybe just to lounge and watch some college ball, you know, I mean, in the early afternoon and head to the field at like 4 o'clock or something. You know, it's a little better when you're, I mean, up early and, you know, you got them moving around 8 o'clock and you got them energized at 12 noon.
One thing I will tell you, watch defensively, a young man by the name of Declan Dean and another gentleman by the name of Basile.
Okay, Basile.
Are pretty active defenders, one up front, one a linebacker for Bethlehem Catholic. They fill the void quite well. So I'm just trying to give you a little crib notes here on what to expect for your call today with you, Bernie, and Homer Charlie back again. I understand the line dropped when they found out Dries was on the sidelines for this one with the Tide.
Oh boy! I mean, Larry brought the Tide some luck. I mean, a lot of people were shocked to see it seems O'Rourke.
It seems like when Charlie's absent, the Tide put together big ball games.
Yeah, and then when Charlie's there, things go downhill. Maybe, I mean, Charlie last night told us, for the last week, he was calling 2-point conversions for Timmy Savage and. We never seen him call one. You know what I mean? So, you know.
Maybe they had a number system and Charlie just held up numbers on his hand.
I don't think so.
Run two, run three.
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. I don't think
Charlie was trying to find a warm spot.
No. He was dressed very warm. He had a nice waffle type of outerwear. I'm not sure what it was, but he looked warm. He had a hoodie on underneath that. He looked puffy.
Charlie always looks puffy.
Well, it had nothing to do with the, I mean, this guy, I have never met anybody who could devour up a meal like Charlie does. And I'm a big guy myself, but he whacked down a 20-pack of nuggets between St. Clair and Frackville, and then whacked down a chicken sandwich and a hamburger when we got to the field just to prepare himself to walk the turf surface at North Schuylkill. You're looking at me astonished.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he did do a number on a dozen wings once. We saw him eat a dozen wings in 6.7 seconds. And, he does do a number. But
so when you take a look at today's ball game, let's get off of that conversation. That's a show of a different color. But how important is it going to be for the Tide today? I will tell you, it's going to be very important for the Tide today to give Damon Yost an opportunity to set his feet. If Bethlehem Catholic can do one thing, I think they might be able to get him moving around a little bit. So the Tide, similar to last night, what I saw at Tamaqua, Pottsville's line is going to have to play tall as well, just as tall as their secondary, but their offensive line is going to need to stand up in there.
I think they'll be all right on the line play pretty much. I mean, the big question mark coming into this ball game, as has been the last previous 11 weeks, is can they get the running game going? They're going to be without the services of Kevin DiCello today. And, last week seeing limited time was Bobby Walchuk. He's been about the number two back behind DiCello. He's seen limited services last week with a leg injury. We'll have to wait and see his status here this afternoon. Pulling back into the card catalog of my brain. We've seen Trevante Davis come in late in ball games. He has done an admirable job running the ball. He shows some quick feet and the ability to hit holes quick and in a hurry. We've also seen the services of Lucas Drum used in the backfield. Joey Ferraro, of course, a big bruising fullback, has carried the ball admirably down the stretch here. So we'll have to wait and see. But Potzel needs to commit to that running game and stay committed to it to open up that pass. I mean, you can't always look to the outside because last week we seen it where they double-teamed Schenck. Now, Schenck has the ability at 6'6 to go up and grab the, reach for the stars and pull down the sky, as I usually say, because that's what they do is throw that jump ball up there where it's, Schenck is going to get up and get it. But we've seen teams starting to double team Kevin Schenck a lot. That opens up, single man on man coverage to Mason Barnes. But, Mason more of a guy that could get the job done on a long ball. You know what I mean? He seems to be able to use speed to get a step or two on the defender on long balls. But if you don't give Damon Yost that opportunity back there to set up and be able to throw that long ball, Chaz, if he's under duress, I mean, that's where Pozzo could be in trouble. They'll have to look to Dalton Mates. I mean, and Mates has been a contributor this season as a safety valve out of that tight end position. So we'll have to wait and see. Last week, another guy that was in street clothes last week was Addison Mullins. Will he return this week to open up the passing game a little bit? He's been a force there for the Crimson Tide. So we'll have to wait and see how things shake out if they start to double-team those two outside guys, you know, and you've got to get that running game going. Last week, Coach Kevin Keating was in attendance, and I got to catch up with him at the half. And I said, Kevin, you know what? I remember you saying, you know, about the running game when I was on the sidelines during your tenure here at Pozzo, that, Eddie, if we get 200 yards rushing, we win the ball game. And he said to me, he says, Eddie, they've got to stay committed to the running game. Don't give up on it and go to the pass game. Just stay committed to it. It will open up sooner or later when you start to mix in the run and the pass, and you've got to be able to take advantage of that. And I think, Pozzo, that's going to be a big key here today. You're going to have to get the running game going, get it going early. That will buy time for Damon Yost, as, I mean, the defenders maybe not so quick to get into that backfield thinking somebody's going to hit a hole, and buy Yost some time to open up that passing game. They're going to have to do that. They're going to have to stay committed to the run this week. And you talk about the defense being, you know, quick, and there's some formidable kids for Bethlehem Catholic. And to take them out of the equation here today, the commitment to the run game is going to be huge.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes up today as the Tide gets set to make their way into the semifinal round today with a shot at getting into the District 11 4A championship and first round of the state tournament. And, you know, looking ahead, 2 weeks ago, Allentown Central Catholic beat Bethlehem Catholic in order to cement their spot in the standings. Northwestern Lehigh has been on a roll through the Colonial League all year. So that bracket's loaded with four teams with some firepower. And it'll be very interesting, of course, the Pozzo game today at noon. The ACC Northwestern Lehigh game is tonight at 7:10.
We'll probably be able to catch that one locally.
You'll be able to catch that one locally tonight.
We'll probably be able to catch that one locally on the Service Electric cable system. But, you know, one thing that I've been hearing, you know what I mean, coming out of that, Lehigh Valley is that looking at this game, I guess ACC plays up, plays a lot
they
of 5 in the, and 6A schools.
They play in the Eastern PA Conference with the Parklands and the Nazareths and the Freedoms and the Beccas and the, you know, Emmaus and all those schools. As we talk about this here on WPPA Pottsville, translator W290DP Pottsville. But, you know, yes, they play in the EPC, they call it. The East Stroudsburg Norths and all those are in that big super conference of 5A, 6As, which is what's essentially, I shouldn't say force the hand, but put to fruition the Schuylkill Colonial Cooperative was to give the 1s, 2s, 3s, and 4s the opportunity to play likewise opponents in the eastern half of the state in the district. And, I mean, it's very deceptive to look at teams like Becca and ACC and go by their records and their playoff seeds not to understand that they're good teams. You also understand that sometimes there's players come in midway through the season. You also understand that sometimes in the offseason players show up because of the success that's drawing these kids to those teams.
Yeah, I mean, it was very interesting, Chaz, when you talk about that, the success in drawing kids to the program and stuff like that. Had the opportunity to catch up, and I always love talking to Charlie Roth, the reporter for the Republican and Herald. And Charlie's been around a very long time. And, I mean, he was talking to us last night, and he says, you know, I'm up into about 400 football games in my career as a reporter coverage-wise. And he talked about his beginning days of covering Southern Columbia and the Shamokins and the Mount Carmels and all that area there. And, I mean, it brought us to talk about Jim Roth. And, I mean, a lot of people may say, well, how does Jim Roth have a program year after year? And is this the best? I mean, a lot of debate going on right now. Is this the best program or the best team that Roth has ever had? And a lot of people would say, well, they recruit at Southern Columbia. They recruit at Berwick, you know, when George Curry was there. They recruit. No, they don't recruit. You don't have to recruit when you're a successful program. You mean you have people that want to move in there, give their kids the opportunity to play for a successful program. It's not that they're recruiting. I mean, just their program alone draws people to that area. The program alone brings people. George Curry didn't have to go out and recruit anybody. People came to him. Jim Roth doesn't have to go out and recruit anybody. People come to him. People who believe that their kid is the best, you know, in the surrounding communities, they transfer into that school district when they're younger and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to give my kid the opportunity. Can you fault the kid or the coach for that? No, they coach who they have on the team. They just do what they do. Jim Roth, and talking to Charlie really let me believe that, you know, Jim Roth is just a guy who is so well-coordinated. I mean, and so well focused on his football coaching career that, I mean, he has, you know, all his I's dotted, all his T's crossed, not once, twice, or three times. He goes the extra mile to make sure he has what he needs to have.
You know, while we're talking about coaches that have their act together, I guess is what you're saying, let's talk about the return of Stan DeCosti to the Marion football program as he retires a few years ago. Program giving up their final two games this season and a berth in the postseason. Pat Morgan stepping down and Stan DeCosti saying, well, I guess I'm coming back to coaching and we're going to turn this ship around and get the corral moving forward in Colt Country.
Well, I think it's no secret, Chaz, that a lot of us behind the scenes have had, you know, thoughts and stuff like that the last few seasons after Stan had stepped away. You know, Stan was still the athletic director. He was still there on a Friday night. He was still there on a Saturday afternoon when Marion was playing and having the rough patch. And, you know, I mean, we all said, you know, I mean, how do you think Stan feels? How do you think Stan feels watching this? How do you think Stan feels? And I don't think it comes as big as a surprise as a lot of people may have been.
Didn't to me.
You know, I mean, being around the programs and all that. But, you know, knowing that Stan, being the competitive individual that he is, wants the best for the Marion family, wants the best. I mean, he's a guy that has his heart in the right place. It's about the kids. It's about the program. And, I mean, is there another answer for Marion? No, I think Stan is the answer. Stan, I mean, is an individual that's well-respected amongst the Marion family and around the hometown region. And, I mean, I think it's a step. I mean, a lot of people may say, well, you know, he's coming back. I mean,
if he still has the fire in his belly,
might as well let it go. Let it go. Try to spark a rally. You know what I mean? And I think this is a rallying point for the Marion family. And I think this is going to be, turns out that, I mean, I will not be surprised next year if we're sitting here saying in the District 11 single A championship, Marion, you know, either won or fell to a Williams Valley, a Tri Valley, a Shenandoah. I mean, I would not be surprised sitting here saying next year, you know, hey, maybe it's Marion and Nativity for the District 11 single A championship next year at this time. And that Marion was the winner and Nativity was the winner. I would not be surprised at that.
No, particularly not with the new alignment and how those teams are going to play each other week in and week out. Tri-Valley, Williams Valley, Nativity, Marion, Shenandoah Valley, you know, and all of those teams are going to stack up against one another throughout the season.
You know, Bernie brought up a very funny, interesting fact. You know what I mean? In that blue division, as they're calling it, it's Williams Valley, Tri-Valley, Shenandoah Valley, Panther Valley, Nativity. So 5 out of 6 teams end in a Y. 4 out of 5 have a valley. And the lone standout? Marion. Doesn't fit the moniker there. But it was kind of funny. You know, he said
they should have called it the Valley Division.
Yeah, the 5 Ys and Marion. But it was kind of neat. You know what I mean? And thinking about those schools all playing each other, it sort of brings back, you know what I mean, what was in the past. We've got to go. We've got the Penn State preview lined up. I'm ready to sit down with Jimmy. James Franklin joining me on the program. We'll get you primed up and ready for the Golden Gophers of Minnesota. It's 2 undefeated records on the line today at 12 noon at UCF Bank Stadium, I think it is, something like that.
We'd be remiss not to thank Sam Bonner for joining us on the program. Also, our fine sponsors like CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. Always open online at CACLFCU.org.
I would not want to forget about the fine rehydrator here this morning. Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest family-owned full-service dairy on a tumbling run road. Check out their dairy line from whole milk to skim milk. The orange juice to boost up that vitamin C during this cold and flu season. And, of course, their delicious iced tea and fruit drinks. And your favorite!
It's eggnog season, baby!
Get your nog on! And while you're at your favorite retail location, like BG's Value Markets, they got four convenient locations for all your tailgate shopping needs. Stop by, check out BG's in Jonestown, Millersburg, Pine Grove, and Minersville. They got the freshest meat for the hot irons of your tailgate grill. If their meat was any fresher,
Doc, you'd have to slap it.
That's right. I may have to slap my Thanksgiving Day turkey. It's right around the corner, buddy, because I got it at BG's Value Markets. There's none fresher than BG's. And don't forget, we're all on the same team when it comes to orthopedic care with the fine folks at St. Luke's University Health Network. It doesn't matter what jersey you wear, what team you root for. It doesn't matter if you're a weekend warrior or a pro. Check them out.
Check them out at ortho.sluhn.org or call 1-866-ST-LUKE'S. Have yourself a great sporting weekend, everybody.
WPPA is your home for the District 11 football playoffs. Join us this Saturday afternoon for a 4A semifinal as the Pottsville Crimson Tide hosts the Bethlehem Catholic Golden Hawks. Kickoff is set for noon. Our coverage begins with the Tom McGoey Show, then Tide Talk pregame. The District 11 playoffs are home on WPPA, AM 1360, 106 FM, and worldwide on the web at WPPARadio.com.
Sands Ford of Pottsville is celebrating Black Friday all month long. That's right, we're celebrating Black Friday now till the end of the month. With deals like these, they're too good to offer for only one day. Stop by and see for yourself Sands Ford's outstanding discounts. Combined with factory finance and lease specials on most new Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs, you'll feel like the holidays are already here. Black Friday savings all month long at Sands Ford of Pottsville, Route 61 South. Online at sandsfordofpottsville.com, where we make it easy.
Finance specials not available on all models.
AM 1360 WPPA. Now, stronger, clearer, further on 106 FM. 106 FM.
Moving is so much of who we are. It's easy to take it for granted. Multiple sclerosis stops people from moving. We exist to make sure it doesn't. The National Multiple Sclerosis Society is a collective of passionate individuals united by a common goal to address the challenges of each person whose life is affected by MS. We believe that moving is not just something you can or can't do, but rather is who you are. That if you are alive, you move along with, because of, and in spite of the great big turning world.